My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Welcome to our music quiz. Very simple, really, unless you happen to be up here on the stage answering questions. Meet John Amis and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. I'm the one who knows all the answers because they're written down here. The only one who knows the score, though, at the end of it all, is Mary Bell. John, to begin with you. Its composer called this only a piece of jobbery. He subtitled it An Imaginary Trip to the Faroe Islands. Who was he, John, and what was his favourite kind of pastry?
Well, his name was Carl Nielsen. That's the easy bit, yes. Obviously. I don't know about his pastry, but I do know that I was reading not long ago a book that he wrote, an autobiographical book about his childhood in Denmark. He was very, very poor family. And it's a fascinating, really well-written book about childhood.
Good. Since you said no, he was Danish, what do you think his favourite kind of pastry
was? Oh, it was a Danish pastry.
Danish pastry, perhaps, yes. It was meant to be a hint, actually, a clue.
Oh, I see. Fair enough. I thought it couldn't be as easy as that.
Yeah, Carl Nielsen, his part of his Rhapsody Overture. Frank, listen closely and see if you can tell me the nationality of this singer.
The Stars and Stripes, George Washington, the Capitol Dome, and Bubblegum, there's General Grant, and Robert E. Lee, but most of all you can count on little old me.
Nationality.
Sounds American.
That's right. Do you know who he was?
It also sounded like Crosby.
Yes, yeah, Bing Crosby.
What's it?
Yes, born in America. But can you remember where he died, Frank?
It was a fairly near a golf course,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, that's right. In
Spain.
Spain, yes, 1977.
He was on a...
Indeed, that's right. Ian, who is this titled lady, and what is it that she can't resist?
Well, I could hazard a fairly reliable guess, I think, at who the untitled lady is who's singing. I think it is Annalisa Rottenberg.
Ah, yes, that literally singing, yes. I meant her part, actually.
Yes, this is one of these awful things because there are so many operettas.
Emily Kalman should help you.
Kalman. Oh, Countess Maritza.
Thank you very much, Countess Maritza, yes. What is it she can't resist?
Yes, she's the lady who has a butler or a steward who keeps getting disguised and is in love with her, and he doesn't like it, I think, when she says that she rather loves gypsy violins and violinists.
She can't resist gypsy violins, absolutely, sir. But you got the singer, very good, Annalisa Rottenberg.
Well, that comes from a fairly long lifetime of introducing operetta records on the radio.
Dennis, back to 1925 and to Jack Hilton's Kit Kat Band.
That sounds further back than Countess Maritza, doesn't it?
It does. Even might be, I don't know. Dennis, that trombonist became a world-famous band leader, the violinist became a symphony conductor, and the pianist's brother led the tango band at the Savoy.
Can you give them names? Well, starting at the last one first. The tang it would be a gaucho tango band, would it? Yes, right. It meant all the band had to buy shirts with frilly sleeves. Yeah. It was Giraldo's gaucho tango band at the Savoy.
Brother, the
His
pianist.
Brother was Sidney Bright.
Sidney Bright.
Sidney
right.
Bright.
Do you want to work backwards? The violinist who became a symphony conductor
with Jack Hilton. That would be would be Hugo Rignall.
Hugo Rignall, yeah. Later with the Liverpool Philharmonic. That's right. And the trombonist who became a world famous band.
Now that's the reason I started it the other way around. Of course.
Yes.
I can only think of. Would it be Paul Fenelay?
No. Paul Fenelay became famous, but not exactly world famous. This man had terrific sales in America with his band. Shall I play you a bar of his signature tune?
Ted Heath. Is it Ted Heath?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ted Heath.
Yeah.
Playing in his band days with Jack Hilton. Yeah.
The only time I ever heard Giraldo speak, his words impressed upon my memory. He was conducting the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and he stopped the orchestra in rehearsal and said, shall I beat it out or make a slight retard?
I'm afraid so. I'm afraid so. But, a very, very good band leader.
Yes.
He insisted on the highest musical standards and a nice man.
Nice man,
too. When he was conducting the LPO, he didn't quite trust his beat, so he used to chuck it out with his foot and do that at the same time.
Not the last person to do that.
Hedging your bets.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we press on. Pens, ink and paper ready, please, for the piano medley.
Oh.
Four tunes for each team to identify. Threw it in a manner of speaking. The first.
Got it.
Yeah. Oh. Frank.
Hello, ragtime. Hello, my ragtime.
Hello, my baby. Hello,
baby.
Good enough.
Hello my baby.
Then,
hello, my ragtime doll.
It's so difficult to remember a tune with all that noise going on.
Yeah. I was making up the lines
when
we got to three.
When you refer to noise going on, are you talking about my playing?
Technically, Steve, it is noise.
Yeah, yes.
Music.
Rather
music,
than silence.
Right.
Yes, and it's the Hungarian Rhapsody.
No, there's one before.
Music.
Then Liszt's second Hungarian Rhapsody, that's right.
The Rosemary.
The Rosemary, that's right.
Well done, Frank.
Very good, yes.
Right. And it's quite a surprise.
Ian, I saw your pen writing for the next one.
Oh, yes, but it only wrote the next one. That's all it wrote, the sunshine of your smile.
Yes, then dum-bum-bum-dum-da-dum-da-dum.
I think that's called the cakewalk.
The cakewalk, yes, or at a Georgia camp meeting. Yes, but I'll accept the cakewalk.
I didn't know the other two.
Didn't you?
No.
No. But when the thermometer goes way up and the weather is sizzling hot.
It's too darn hot.
Too darn hot.
Too
late,
too darn late.
You've sung that on one of these programs 37 and a quarter years ago.
My old Indiana. It's one of those states songs, whatever it is.
Well,
they always sing it when politicians go around for votes.
If Dumas is a state, then it's a state song, yes. I'm a ding-dong
daddy from Dumas.
Right? You ought to see my Dumas stuff. Yes. Only you didn't get it, I think.
Awful song.
I call this Happy Families. John, tell me, who left Harriet for Mary? Just one of the expected episodes in the life of an artist.
Lots of clues there.
Mm.
Harriet Smithson, Irish actress that Berlioz fell in love with, and a lady called Camille Moke. who used to sing the Donkey Serenade, no doubt. Yes. And he left her the one for the other.
Well, Mari,
he married the second.
Mari Recio is the one I was after, yes. Berlioz is the answer to the question, quite right. Frank, if Wagner said to you, "I'd like you to meet my father-in-law," what colour would his hair be?
But Wagner's?
No, his father-in-law.
Oh. Well, there was in a picture of Wagner and his close family, he had a list for starboard.
Pardon? Sorry. John's a mime for you.
I'm sorry.
Ever so sorry. John was miming his head off.
Was he? I'm so I'm interrupting you, John.
No, you've got there. You've got there.
That yes. Well, it's Cosima Liszt he married, and Liszt. This is a trick question because Liszt's hair surely was white, and white isn't a colour.
Oh.
According to G.K. Chesterton, white is very much a colour. If you wrote his essay on a piece of chalk, he says white is a positive colour, not... I mean, he's going against accepted thinking.
Well, I'm with you. I agree. Yeah. I withdraw that objection. Two marks, and we'll go on to the next.
Isn't it lovely that just this once, I'm not going to get the letters. They are. That's marvellous. Right.
You know what I was trying to do?
No,
what? It's all those warts the list had, you know. You see them in all the photographs. Friend once sent me a picture, a postcard of Liszt with all the warts numbered.
Is that maybe your friend, he wasn't Liszt's friend.
No.
Make one of those wonderful connect the dots picture.
Ian, still thinking about families, this is a bit complicated. A German pianist and conductor married a Bohemian violinist and gave his name to an orchestra, with which an English oboist played many times under an Italian-French conductor, her husband, whom you and I both knew. Can you give me their surname?
Ah, yes. Well, again, yeah. Taking the second part first.
Right.
The oboist is Evelyn Rothwell.
That's right.
And she married John Barbirolli. And he conducted the Halle Orchestra, so I presume that Halle was the other family.
Halle, who married Neruda, a Bohemian violinist. Absolutely.
Quite a lot of gossip in this round, isn't there?
Yeah, I had another bit of gossip. There's a story about Barbirolli that one time at rehearsal, a lady from the Halle Orchestra, who was married to a person in the orchestra, came to Barbirolli in the coffee interval of the rehearsal in tears and said, it's my friend, he's gone off with somebody else, you see. And he was a bit embarrassed and didn't quite know what to say. He said, well, that's all right, my dear. It all come right at the end. I mean, he's playing better than ever.
Oh, that's lovely. So like the man, too.
Lady Barbirolli, I may say.
As we were talking about white before, I think probably for many people, one of the, from a musical point of view, one of the greatest memories of black and white television days was him conducting the Halle on television on these Viennese evenings, where he used to... absolutely draw the music out of the orchestra and this wonderful seraphic expression on his face of the bliss of enjoying it himself. I think it was a revelation
to
me.
That's right. Lovely, yes. Dennis, we come to your question. Jack, Charlie and Norma played trombone, trumpet and piano, respectively. Can you give them their rather improbable, I think, surname?
Well, I don't know about Norma, that's it, but I know a Jack and I know a Jack who played trombone.
That's right.
Who had a brother, Jack Teagarden, who played trombone, and had a brother called Charlie who played trombone. It was called Little T, I think.
Yes,
but Norma is a new one. And is there a Norma Teagarden?
Sister, yes, she played, really? Played the piano, yeah. You may remember Jack Teagarden in the famous trio, Dennis, singing about the waiter and the porter and the upstairs maid. Who were the other two members of that trio?
There was Crosby and Mary Martin.
Yes, in the film.
In the film Birth of the Blues.
Birth of the Blues is right, yeah. One of my favourite operatic tenors takes over now for a minute or two. I'll be asking Ian for his name, so let's not divulge who it is just yet, even if we know. John, where will I find this aria?
Oh,
I find that aria?
It's Norman Delmar's brother, Cielo Delmar.
Cielo Delmar. Cielo Aymar, actually.
Well, yes. Cielo Aymar. Yes. It's in an opera by Ponchielli.
Yes, called...
La Gioconda.
Smile when you say that, yes, La Gioconda.
Actually, you know, Dance of the Hours, I think, from that opera, is one of the best bits of light music I know.
Yes,
it's a smashing piece.
Yes, yes. Don't you think so?
Yes, I mean, it's often despised.
Oh, yes.
Yes, hello, Father.
Camp Granada.
Dennis in the corner singing, Hello, Father. Hello, Mother.
I was doing dump da 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 ba 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 ba, which is the other bit, which is what roller skaters use when they're doing that boring bit where they hold each other and go round and
right.
round and round.
Right. Frank, the same singer, this time in Carmen. See if you can determine, please, his nationality.
He's singing it in French, and French he ain't.
Yeah, French he ain't. That's quite true.
It's quite clear. Well, John thinks that you have a predilection for Spanish tenors at the moment. He might be Spanish. He's Spanish or Italian?
No, he's not. No.
Or by his accent, Mongolian.
He's actually... Well, let's hear the man in his own language. A very sweet Italian aria, after which we come to your question.
Thank you. Non piangere più, se in un lontano giorno io t'ho sorriso, per quel sorriso dolce mia fanciulla m'ascolta.
Who is he, Ian?
I think he's Giuseppe Di Stefano.
Got him. Absolutely. Giuseppe Di Stefano. Yes.
My friend got him, too. About the same moment, he said to me, Stefano. And I said, what about him?
I'm not going to bandy words about pronunciation.
No. I would call him singing in a tenor range with a baritone quality, wouldn't you? It's perfectly lovely singing, especially for Turandot.
A marvellous singer, and one of the arias most heard of his was one conducted by... the conductor whom I first worked with in opera, Alberto Iredi, and that's the Luci Vannistelli from Tosca. You hear that on the radio.
Well,
radio.
It's funny you should say that, because that's coming up.
Oh,
it's all right, though.
It's called Luci
Vannistelli. Dennis, I have a special reason...
Luci Van Steele.
Yes, I have a special reason for asking this.
Right.
How much, Dennis, does this melody remind you of the old Al Jolson song, Avalon?
This is one of those, the story behind the song, Chris.
Absolutely, it is, yes.
Because Avalon, the composer of Tosca, who was, of course, Puccini.
Thank you.
It was Al Jolson and somebody else
who wrote
Avalon. For $25,000, I think,
and
got it.
And
it does sound a bit like it, but not a lot, does it?
Well, no, I mean, you know, the Puccini is... And the Avalon is...
Oh, yeah, but when Al Jolson sang it, it was... My left, my left.
I've always thought Puccini was dead lucky to win that hearing, actually. We're in the home stretch now. This first tune I played when I was no more than 8 years old. And now, some years later, I'm going to treat myself to a chorus on the piano. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
and I was 17, and life and love was new. The world was just a field of green, neath smiling skies of blue. That golden spring when I was king and you were my wonderful queen. Do you recall when love was all and we were 17?
Who was it used to sing what he called the mathematical version of that? Which was, when you were 9 and I was 8 and we were 17. Yes.
Sounds like Victor Borger almost, yes. Doesn't it? I don't know who it was. It's a real old stager, that song. Mm. John is going to couple up with Ian's song later, so we turn to Dennis.
Oh, do you?
Yes, we do. For a heart-rending saga that I'm proud to say I was the one who brought to his attention. Dennis, set the scene. Wait a minute, let me get the key right. Yes.
It was in a crowded auction. There was once an auctioneer selling off a widow's home and all she held so dear. He held up a tiny baby's chair and someone bid a bob. And someone else bid 18 pence and the widow with a sob cried, spare, oh spare my baby's chair, it reminds me of my dear. You can take my grandfather's fiddle, but spare me the chair with the hole in the middle. It was knocked down for 2 shillings, and the widow shed many a tear. Then up jumped a navvy, a stout-hearted navvy, and knocked down the auctioneer.
I thought you'd like that. Percy Grainger made this arrangement of a Robert Burns song and dedicated it, in his own words, lovingly and reverently to the memory of Edvard Grieg. It's for voice or voices and whistler or whistlers.
Can we all join in?
No.
No.
That's a quick answer to that. Ye banks and drakes.
Ye banks and braes, o bonny doon, how can ye bloom sae fresh and fair? How can ye chant, ye little birds, and I sae weary for care? Thou'll break my heart, thou warbling bird, that wantons o'er the flowering thorn. Thou minds me o' departed joys, departed never to return. I roved by bonny Doon to see the rose and woodbine twine, and ilk a bird sang o' its love and fondly said it I. Will light some hair I pull a rose to sweet upon its thorny tree. But my false lover stole my rose, but she left. left the thorn with me.
Time to leave you with the news that the quiz part of our show was won by Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.